Suffering always takes us back to the cross. It always takes us back to Christ. We are women encouraging and equipping women to universally and uniquely serve Christ in their feminine vocation.
By embracing joy, laughter, freedom, and friendship, we are seeking to thrive in the trenches of our domestic churches.
Welcome to Thriving in the Trenches podcast. This is Becky Carter.
And this is Megan Shriver. And today you are listening to episode number 17, which is our Lead the Conversation follow-up to last week's episode with Instabrunk, our friend Christy.
So we had a lot of fun feedback. Christy is a well-loved sister, and it's just fun to see the people's excitement to get to listen to her story, hear her conversion story, and get to know her a little better. So at one point, we had one Hail Mary at a time. She said, "I loved it, and Christy, I'm pushing through too." Oh, every day, pushing through.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I like that tag name, One Hail Mary at a Time.
That's it.
Right? Wow. Yeah. It's great.
I know. Well, I mean, that's it. That's how we have to push through, is one Hail Mary at a time.
That's right.
Yeah. Crazy Catholic Crew says, "I really liked Christy's conversion story. The dress story was hilarious. Sounds like something that would happen to me. I love how real she is and how God has worked in their lives. Great podcast, ladies. Another hit." Thanks, Christy.
That's great. Well, I loved Christy's conversion story too. And Becky, I don't know if you'd pick this up, but when she was sharing that, there was just such a sweetness. I think that's really the only word I can come up with about her story. She had such this relationship with the Lord that was sweet and open. And as she said, right, she really thought she kind of knew a lot of things. And I loved when she said, "The one thing was, I don't really know if I was praying to have a teachable spirit." And that, like, that just hit me. I thought, how many of us do?
Mm-hmm.
And in the moments that I have, which I'm trying to make more frequent since she brought that to my attention, is, wow, he's really good. And he's always gentle when he's teaching us.
Mm-hmm.
We do need to have that open heart and that willingness. And I love how she said it. She's like, maybe, just maybe, there's something I don't know yet. I think we have to almost ask that question in our journey every single day in seeking to know him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, of course, I love the Litany of Humility. I think I've talked about it on the podcast before. But if you haven't looked it up, I'll put it on the show notes. It's one of those prayers where the first thing it says, "Lord, deliver me from the desire to be loved." I mean, come on, how do you pray that? You know, but if,
no, I'm laughing because we've had this conversation. That's a piece that I struggle with, because I'm like, I really want to be loved.
Yes.
I really, really want to be loved. But I think there's a different perspective that's in there.
Right. It's not that we don't want to be loved, period. It's knowing that we are loved by God, and that is enough. It's not the love of others, though the Lord uses the love of others to build up the body of Christ. But to desire that and to be angry when we're not being loved or hurt, yeah, I can't touch that one with a 10-foot pole because I don't understand it. But anyway, you can just hear in her desire for humility and walking without these worldly expectations and truly seeking the Lord for his affirmation and blessing the Lord by her life and their choices, especially being open to life and, you know, right out the gates, you know, having twins and, you know, job woes. And I mean, all that on top of everything, really having to surrender their lives to the Lord very early on in their marriage. But I mean, what a beautiful life it is.
How blessed they are to have done it so early in their marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Gosh, you know, suffering always takes us back to the cross. It always takes us back to Christ. Well, if we allow it, and they definitely did that.
It was really beautiful. It was. It was a real beautiful, just witness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I loved how she talked about glossy versus, you know, this glossy life versus the reality of life. And she really does a good job of balancing the two because, you know, as women, I think we can tend to be one way or the other. Well, all of life is glossy, and or I'm at least going to just show you the glossy version. Or we get stuck in the negative part of life and the hard part of life, and both parts are real, but we tend to make it to where the negative part of life becomes such a reality or just the only version of life that we see or we expect. We don't expect any glossy. Or maybe it's that the gloss is in the chaos. You know, anyway, mm-hmm. Christy does a really good job of balancing those two points so that we don't get stuck on either side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's so the key in everything, right? Just mm-hmm. balancing it because it is the reality, like seasonal. We use that term mm-hmm. too, right? Mm-hmm. Everything is seasonal.
We have one listener. She'll know who she is when I say it. She hates the word seasons of life. And so I told her I'm going to try and say it in every episode.
That's so funny. It's like my aversion to the term self-care. Our listeners are probably like, what is she talking about? I know. You know, sometimes there's just like these new buzzwords that just get everywhere. And I was like, self-care just sounds like somebody needs to know how to brush their teeth. So...
Well, there are some days that I have to persevere just to brush my teeth. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Oh, I totally got sucked in to that probably 10 years ago, got sucked into the, oh, you have to have me time. I became a slave to this whole me time thing.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I thought, well, I must be doing something wrong because I ain't got no free time. Me time, whatever time. I just ain't got no time.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, my word. And if you don't have quiet time in the Word every morning before the rest of your day, then it's just not going to go well. Or if you do have quiet time in the beginning of the day, then it'll just go well. Understand, I'm not saying it is not good to have quiet time in the morning and being in the Word and connecting with the Lord, but this prescriptive ideology of what it should look like was a trap for me.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It was definitely a trap for me because when I did sit in the chair and I had my coffee and I had my journal and I had my Bible and I had my prayer and all that good, wonderful stuff. And then I woke up and the baby had taken her diaper off and smeared poo everywhere. I'm feeling defeated. The moment I put my foot, I might not even be out of the chair yet. And you know that smell makes its way through the house when a kid takes his diaper off and paints the wall with it. So anyway, oh gosh, no. Bringing up some old memories.
Are you okay? Yeah. But what you're hitting on is something that I think that is really important, and we apply it in a lot of different ways, but this level of expectation, mm-hmm. right? So you have that moment of good, which is giving your morning to the Lord, which is beautiful, mm-hmm. and that is good, and it mm-hmm. should be done if you can do it. Mm-hmm. But then to framework the expectation that you have out of that, and that expectation is So here's how it works, Lord. I'm giving you this, and this is great. And now the rest of my day is going to be good. Mm-hmm. So in that moment, right, you go upstairs and you're like, are you kidding me? Or as I used to say, like, can I get a break? Right? Like, ah, I just want to. Where did I come up with that expectation?
Right.
I made it up myself. And so it's always, if I look at things that have disappointed me in my life, 99% of the time is because I have placed an expectation on that very thing, whether it's my husband, whether it's God, whether it's the meal. What I mean, it can go, it spans a huge variety. And I'm not saying that you don't have expectations. That's not an encouragement to lower the bar.
Right.
But I think it's that, it's almost like a measure. It's something to measure. Am I doing this because I expect something, or am I doing this because I love the Lord? And mm-hmm. heck, if the rest of my day is a crapshoot, literally, that's okay. It doesn't matter. It's right. not going to be a bad day for me because this is the day the Lord has made, and we just had a conversation. So that's it. So, you know, I just know, I'm speaking from my temperament, that I do have to watch when I'm internally or intellectually putting maybe unspoken expectations on someone or something. Most likely I'll be disappointed.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. There's a great quote by C.S. Lewis. And Sarah McKenzie talks about it in her book.
It's okay because I love her book. Do you want to look it up really quick? Because I can slice
I'm
that.
Looking it up. Yeah. It's about, it's her homeschooling book. Homeschooling from Rest is her book.
Oh, yeah. Teaching from Rest, right?
Teaching from Rest. It's one of my all-time favorite books I can read. I've read it like 3 times, and I'm not usually I read books more than one time. But that book is great, even in parenting, even if you don't homeschool, I really do suggest that book. But C.S. Lewis says, the truth is, of course, that what one regards as interruptions are precisely one's life. So we see it as an interruption of life, but C.S. Lewis is pointing out it just is life. It's not an interruption.
Right.
It just is.
That's right.
Yeah. And so I really appreciate that quote, because then you're saying, okay, Lord, let your will be done. And arms open wide, right? Hands open, arms open, and receiving it as it comes. One Hail Mary at a time, if it takes it to get through it.
Right. That's right. And then I'll challenge us, Becky, to layer the gratitude in
yes.
there, right? You know, I know in the moment this didn't happen, right? Thank you, Lord, for this mess on my wall. Thank you, Lord. But the reality is, yeah, thank you, Lord, that I'm so blessed that I have a child that can make a mess on the wall. Mm-hmm. Let's see the existence of the child. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, firmly tell them to never do it again. Because you love them, and we have to discipline with love.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the other thing about her conversation that I feel like Christy Brunk does a good job on social media, and I'm assuming in her life in general, because it just seems to bleed over into what she shares with us. Because she's not an oversharer. So when she does share, it's usually a very thoughtful, you know, it's just very thoughtful. Anyway, is focusing on what is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. Scripture tells us these are the things we're supposed to think upon. And when you think upon those things, that is what will transform and renew your mind mm-hmm. on the Lord, and see these things not as interruptions, but see these things as life. And you can see God's beauty. You can see the gloss and your chaos. Ooh, that's a new way we should term.
There you go.
Gloss in the chaos. But it, yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
I like that. All right, Becky, I like your gloss in the chaos. That's kind of true. You know, I like it. Yeah. I like it. So, yeah, so question for you, how do you balance that? Because you're, you know, a busy mom of five children and, you know, how do you balance that and keeping it real and being able to manage through the chaos? And I'm just curious.
Yeah. Well, I do try to keep my social media feed. I'll start there on social media feed. I do try to keep it real. And I am naturally, I try to be humorous. And I think I probably cover up some things with my humor. But I also feel like, well, I can either cry or I can laugh and make a joke of it. And sometimes I need to be careful to not devalue someone's pain by making a joke. Maybe why the whole gloss and the chaos resonated so much with me is because that is what I see. I'm also a glass half full kind of girl. So I do tend to be optimistic. So anyway, my point is, how do I keep it real? Well, I share funny stories that are real. Like my 5-year-old son decided that it would be fun to take a scoop of coffee grinds and put it into my sugar jar. Okay. So I couldn't figure out, and I have coconut sugar, so it's brown. So I could not figure out why every morning, my coffee had coffee grinds in it.
Is this the same child that ordered his own Jeep on Amazon?
Yeah.
Well, watch out, world.
Yeah, y'all. I'm telling you. And he's cute, and he's super articulate, very thoughtful for a 5-year-old boy. Anyway, so. Now, I could let, and it was frustrating because I couldn't figure out where the coffee grind's coming from. And then I had an enlightened moment when I put a scoop of sugar into my coffee, and all of a sudden I saw these things float up, and I realized what had happened. And so for a couple of days, I chose to offer it up. All the time I spent scooping coffee grinds out of my coffee. Number one, I have to go to Sam's to get coconut sugar, and it's not cheap, and I had quite a bit left. Mm-hmm. And being a cheap person on certain things, I was not going to go buy more. So anyway, I thought, well, I'll just offer it up for his little stinking soul and move on. Well, then I got smart. I do have to, can I brag on myself for just a moment?
Sure.
Okay. Because yesterday, I figured it out. If I put the sugar in the coffee filter before I brew it, then all the coffee grounds just stay in the filter, but the sugar melts into my coffee pot.
That's brilliant.
Thanks.
That actually really is brilliant. So you want to know how I would have handled it? I don't have any 5-year-olds anymore. If my 5-year-old did that, he would be with me every morning. Scooping the grinds out of my coffee cup.
Yeah.
But you were great. You were better. You were offering it up. No. I would have put him to work.
Well.
And he would be like, you're so mean, Mom.
I mean, it's really a funny story. And funny. That is the gloss.
Yes.
Because in the end, it doesn't really matter.
No.
No. And so trying to see that perspective of these things really can be funny. We can laugh at babies painting the walls with their poop now.
Right, but when you're in it, no way.
Oh, no.
No way.
Oh, no. I was cussing like a sailor. I can guarantee that I probably had to forgive a child or two through those seasons. Seasons. There's the word. Through those seasons. Anyway.
That's so funny.
So how do I keep it real? I just I try to focus on the truth, goodness, and beauty because that is where I find God. That is where I find the gloss in the chaos. But I hope I don't ever paint a picture that my life is perfect because it's not. And I definitely have, I've tried to start answering the questions. How are you doing? Haven't seen you in a while. I've tried to come up with a better answer. Oh, everything's great. We're good. Because the truth is that there are good, great seasons where we're not struggling through anything. But there's also seasons where we are struggling and we're barely breathing. And it feels like the quicksand is pulling us under. I'm not going to share that with everybody either. But I feel like I'm lying when I say, oh, we're great. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, baloney, you know, and maybe that's the accuser. But anyway, so no, I don't know. Did I answer your question?
You did. A couple things. One, I think what you portray is exactly what your life is. I appreciated the humor of the Amazon purchase as well. I thought that was great. You know, and it could have gone sideways, but it was funny. But your last comment, I know exactly what you're talking about. I think there can be a balance between somebody saying, hey, how are you? And you're like, I'm miserable. And launching into things like, whoa. Or just saying, praise God, everybody's healthy. We're struggling with, you know, just life right now. Prayers would be great. I think that's an okay response because otherwise every single one of us has walked something 100% alone for whatever reason, because we didn't want to share, because we couldn't share. And we're missing that body of Christ because if Becky's hurting, I'm hurting. You're not just isolated over there like, well, good luck to you. And I really, you know, I hope that your season gets better soon. Because no one's really going to feel like that. You know, so I don't know. I think, but I mean, it's easy for me to say that, but I don't know necessarily if I could say it like that. If I were in that place where, you know, we're struggling with something. Or something's weighing really heavy on me. And just glossing it over like, yeah, it's great. Everybody's great.
Yeah. I try to say, you know what? Sometimes we're just mucking through the ups and downs of life. That's how I say it because that is the truth. And I didn't just reveal if I'm in an up or a down. So
that's true.
Trying to get through the ups and downs of life. Parenting is wow. It's a journey. Life is a journey. So that's how I try to keep it real. I tend to be too honest. I don't know if you've noticed that about me, Megan, but I tend to be a little too honest. And so out of respect for my family and their privacy, you know, I have to be careful not to say certain things because I could overshare for sure. And then hurt.
Interesting. Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think you do a good job.
Thanks.
How do I keep it real? Or the balance? I mean, the balance is really, really important. Like you, I tend to look at the glass half full with other people. Like if my husband's struggling with something and he's really frustrated, I don't like seeing him frustrated and I don't want to say angry, but irritated. So I'm always very quick to point out, like, but isn't this good about that? And won't this be great? And I have to be careful because sometimes I'm kind of taking away a legitimate thing that we just need to kind of vent about. I don't always do that with myself. Like when the tree fell on the neighbor's yard a couple weeks ago, right? I wasn't like, well, I guess in some ways I was like, thank goodness it didn't hit anybody. Thank goodness it didn't hit their shed or their car. And you know what? It was the best of a bad situation. It cost us a lot of money, but in the grand scheme of things, it was the best of a bad situation. So I try to, it's more just an internal dialogue. Like I'm not going to go around necessarily talking about that, but it's just, I think the most important dialogue is the internal dialogue. Oftentimes for me. So, because that can be a predictor of how I handle the ups and downs of life. Mm-hmm. My internal conversation is an indicator of how I will handle it.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to.
But do you ever put so much gloss on your chaos though that all of a sudden it's like the you know what just hit the fan because it just bubbles over? Is there a point that you think we can put so much gloss on the chaos that we are not even being real about what our feelings are?
That's a good point. I don't know. I mean, you know, you knew that particular week that the tree fell down, there was a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
And it was funny for our listeners, Becky and I were kind of texting each other because we had some similar loving advice given to us by our spiritual directors. Even though we live completely across the country and we have different ones. And it was about gratitude. And I would say, I'd send Becky a text like, thank you for the tree that just fell in my neighbor's yard that's going to cost me $2,000. You know, and I'm joking, though I'm saying it, but I'm not, in my heart, I'm really not grateful.
Right.
I'm really not. And I was saying to you, this is not natural for me. Right now. Right. And I can't even remember what else was going on, but there was like, it literally, we got slammed in a week. We got slammed with like one thing after another. I'm like, this is a joke right now. Like expensive things that were, whatever they were. I can't even remember. So see, it's okay now.
Right.
But
right.
In the moment, I was kind of saying it, I was also revealing to you at the same time that I know I'm saying I'm grateful, but it sure doesn't feel like I'm grateful. And it's really out of character for me to say this, but mm-hmm. I know that somewhere in there, I have to be grateful. I'm mm-hmm. looking for it. I'll tell you when I find it. So I don't know. I mean, I don't think I'll ever get to that point where I am so glossed over that, you know, nothing seems to bother me.
Right.
I don't think I'll ever get there.
Well, I would feel like that might be a little inhuman.
True.
Like just completely shutting off all your emotions to get there, right?
Yeah, that would be weird because then you wouldn't have, on the other extreme, any passion, right? You'd just be kind of that middle of the road.
Yeah. Yeah, you were talking about the inner dialogue, and I can remember this from years back. Talking about the conversation going on in your head, and boy, Heidi, I can get stuck there in a bad way. And sometimes it takes me a little longer to realize that I'm stuck there than others. But there's a saying, it says you need to stop listening to yourself and start preaching to yourself. And that goes back to ordering yourself on what is true, what is noble, what is right, what is pure, because listening to the voices, typically you're replaying a conversation that was hurtful. You're replaying a situation that is scary. You're just playing it over in your mind over and over. And that is what you're focusing on rather than focusing on the God who is going to get you out of this muck and love you along the painful journey, if it be painful.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We're a funny creature, aren't we?
Yeah.
But we all do that. And then, in that moment, aren't we also making ourselves self-reliant?
Mm-hmm.
And in that, aren't we also playing God a bit?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's funny, thinking about that, you know, going over the Ten Commandments with one of my younger children, I can't remember, just kind of the order of it. And we were really talking about like what they meant, like really breaking it down and, you know, how there's so much that can come off of that. So it's like, you know, when we were younger, we'd say, have no other gods before me. And I was like, well, I never have to worry about that one because I'll never do that. I'm never going to go worship Buddha. I'm not, you know, whatever. Not understanding that maybe it was me. Maybe I was making myself
mm-hmm.
that, even though I didn't have a title, but it was that, mm-hmm. that playing, that inner conversation, that inner dialogue of not letting God be God.
Mm-hmm.
in that. So yeah, it's.
Yeah. Well, just yesterday, you know, I posted that picture of Mary holding Jesus and she has her crown on it. I love that because it really reminds us that our Queen Mother is petitioning the King for us, right? But it has her mantle open and it's full of all her children, us, her children. And I made the comment, or I talked about when that we need to put ourselves, our family, and any of those that we know who are suffering, we need to put them into Mary's mantle. An older, wiser woman, we were talking last week, and she was kind of helping me work through some of my own hurts. And we were talking about family life, and she says, "Why are you carrying that? Because you know you can't fix that." Right. And we talk so much about how God loves our kids more than he loves us. God loves our family more than we can love our family. He loves our parents. He loves our friends. He loves our atheist husband or fiance or boyfriend. He loves them more than we can love them. Well, Mary's the same. And so she, of course, her role is to always lead us to Christ. And so in that moment, in my mind, I pictured Mary with her mantle, literally wrapping her whole mantle around our home, the physical dwelling of our home. And also every day when I start to put on a worry about a child or my spouse or a friend who is struggling, I just, in my mind, I just picture myself tucking them under Mary's mantle, because that is the promise, and resting in that is where we're going to find that joy, the peace, and the gratitude that we're being carried through, and we don't have to do it. We're not saving others. They're
right.
Anyway.
I like that. And it's true. And when I've been there, and we've talked about that, oh my gosh, the freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the worry that we don't have to do. That's what she wants to do as a loving mother. Care in that regard. I have two kids right now that are away for about 2 weeks. One is in a foreign country doing missionary work. I can't say that I wasn't really nervous to send her. But then I just said, "Mary, she's yours." And then I kind of was like, "Oh, this is great. Mary's got her covered." Same thing for my son, who's only 14 and he's away. Same thing. Like, I got that moment of panic, like, "Oh, this is going to be hard." She's got them. She totally has them.
Yeah. I just don't want to send them out. No, I'm just kidding.
I know.
Well,
Nate. I know.
It's big, hard. Bad, scary world.
But the world needs us. The world needs them. We can't put our lights under a basket. They have to go out.
Right, absolutely. Well, we can just hope, trust, and one Hail Mary at a time, taking a step, at just persevering every day.
Amen.
Well, thank you guys for joining us this week. We're so grateful for all of you with us in the trenches. You can find show notes on thrivinginthetrenches.com. Please subscribe, leave us a review on iTunes, and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, where you can join the conversation. Thanks for coming.